Many believe a polygraph test could have flagged Robert Hansen, an FBI agent who is accused of spying for Russia. In his 25 years with the Bureau, Hansen never had a polygraph. Navy Petty Officer Daniel King, who was suspected of spying for Russia, had an inconclusive reading on a polygraph. That led him to be held for some 500 days without being charged before a military judge said that there was not enough evidence to bring him to a court-martial. NPR's Barbara Bradley reports.
On September 29, 1999, Navy Petty Officer Daniel King submitted to a routine polygraph. King was a cryptologist, or code expert, who was being transferred to a highly sensitive post at the National Security Agency. After the lie detector test, King was told to wait in an adjacent room.
While I'm sitting out there, waiting, the doors open and close, and I hear people talking, and I heard somebody say, "Spy." And ma'am, from that time on, my life became a living nightmare.
Navy investigators told King he had failed the polygraph. Actually, he found out later that the result was no opinion or inconclusive, a common result. The Navy, which has declined to be interviewed on tape, says after the polygraph, King said he wanted to harm the Navy and thought about giving information to the Russians. King denies saying he wanted to harm the Navy, although he did admit at the time that he was angry at the Navy for failing to promote him. Military lawyers not associated with the case say that is enough to launch an investigation, but they say they're troubled by what happened next. King was told to return to his barracks and gather his clothes.
And then I went from safe house to safe house to safe house. At the safe houses, the lights would always be on, they would blare the TV, they would make the phone ring constantly, and I couldn't sleep from all this racket. Then I'd come back and we'd start having these interrogations.
The Naval Criminal Investigative Service says it did no such thing, although in a deposition, one of the investigators was asked if they kept the lights on in King's room, and he did not deny it. The Navy does admit that it interrogated King for 26 days. Scott Silliman, a former Air Force judge advocate, says that's an extremely long time to the point of appearing coercive. But he says espionage cases often bring out extreme tactics among investigators.
My guess is this, that the Navy, as other services do when they have a case like this, they kind of get into an initial frenzy to try to determine what information might have been compromised. And to some extent, I think there's lesser concern about the ultimate prosecution than there is what information has been compromised so that we can change those codes, do whatever we need to.
In its written statement, the Navy says its investigators acted properly and professionally. Even King says he had a cordial relationship with the investigators, but he says they wore him down. He says they worked in shifts, and sometimes he begged to go to sleep, but they refused. During those 26 days, King says he sometimes dozed during the interrogation. He dreamed of meeting with Russians or having a Russian wife on the Black Sea.
One time when I was nodding off, they actually woke me up and said, "What are you thinking? Or what are you dreaming?" And I told them what I'm dreaming, and they went ahead and actually started writing down a statement on this dream when I'm telling them, "This is a dream. This isn't real." And they told me, "Danny, if you're dreaming it, it has to be real."
On October 19th, 3 weeks into the interrogation, King asked to see a Navy psychologist. In this videotape of the session, King tells Dr. Michael Gellis that he no longer could distinguish fact from fantasy.
"I want to be able to recall stuff in that, according to the polygraph, I have inside me. When I look, when I'm right now trying to think about it, I can't see it. And I was just wondering if maybe hypnosis or drugs could help me, if it's a suppressed memory or something like that."
In the end, the psychologist conducted no such tests. Another point of contention involves lawyers. The Navy says King never requested an attorney, but according to a document obtained by NPR, 10 days into the interrogation, King signed a statement that said, quote, "I do desire to have my lawyer present during the polygraph examination." The Navy says that the form he signed accidentally left out the word "not," as in, "I do not desire to have my lawyer present." In the end, King was never provided with a lawyer, although he was given at least 4 more polygraphs. Another document shows that King talked about wanting a lawyer on October 5th, after a week of questioning. At that point, military lawyers say, All questioning should have stopped immediately, but investigators continued to interrogate him. And at 3:30 in the morning, after nearly 19 hours of questioning, King signed a confession saying he gave a computer disk to the Russians. 3 days later, King signed a waiver saying he had considered getting a lawyer, but decided against it. John Michaels, a former Air Force prosecutor, says he finds that chronology troubling.
The fact that they got him to sign a waiver days after the original request for a lawyer, I think, indicates at some point somebody went back through and said, wait a minute, he's asked for an attorney, we got to get him to take it back, otherwise what we've got, we can't use. In some respects, it indicates a knowing violation of his constitutional rights and then an attempt to try to fix it.
Michaels and others say possibly the most troubling part of King's interrogation was the length of the interviews. On several days, the interviews spanned 12, 15, 19 hours. Robert Blitzer is a former FBI agent who's conducted countless interviews.
If the guy has waived his rights and he's willing to talk, so what? So it takes 19 hours. At any time, he could hold up his hand and say, I don't want to talk anymore. He has that right.
But Yale Kamisar at the Michigan Law School says the style of interrogations does matter, at least to the U.S. Supreme Court. He notes that the High Court has ruled that even a confession gleaned after 16 days of interviews, but only an hour or less a day, was involuntary.
And there's one case called Haynes in 1963 where the person was held just questioned for 16 hours incommunicado, just once, and the court thought that made the confession involuntary and therefore inadmissible. So 26 days, I mean, you'd have to go way back to the 1930s to find a case that was that outrageous.
At the end of the 26 days, King was put in the brig. He was given three lawyers. The first thing they did was ask the Navy for any documents, audio or videotape, pertaining to the case. They pointedly requested evidence that would show that King was innocent or that the confession was coerced. The government turned over no video or audio tape. Then, in February 2001, 14 months later, one of King's lawyers, working on an unrelated case, was looking in an evidence locker. He stumbled upon a cache of taped interrogations of King. Under the law, the Navy was required to turn over exculpatory evidence, evidence that could point to King's innocence. A Navy official says privately it was an oversight. Jonathan Turley, one of King's lawyers, sees darker motives because he says the tapes supported King.
On these tapes, you hear Dan King repeatedly saying that none of this happened, repeatedly breaking down and sobbing, saying that they have destroyed him physically and mentally, that he wants it to stop, that he'll sign anything. He's just telling them what they want to hear to bring this to an end. These tapes are unbelievably damaging to the government's case, and they were clearly concealed.
By this point, Daniel King had been in custody nearly 500 days without being charged with anything. Throughout this time, the Navy had conducted 800 interviews trying to corroborate King's signed confession, but had been unable to do so. Finally, on March 17th, the military judge overseeing the case, James Winthrop, recommended the government drop the case without sending it to trial. Even though the government needed very little evidence to get the case to trial, the judge said, quote, the evidence I am aware of barely, if at all, reaches that threshold. The case was dismissed. Daniel King is receiving an honorable discharge. Now the Navy is doing a preliminary investigation into how the case was handled. As for the Navy officers involved in the prosecution, every one of them is retiring or being transferred. The Navy says these moves were planned long ago and have nothing to do with the King case. Barbara Bradley, NPR News, Washington.